This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Right now on The Fan, brought to you by Ford. Built for Texas, built for you. It is the owner and the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. It is Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin, Corey, Mike, good to be on again with you today.
Now, I know we got a lot of football stuff to do, and I promise we will get to it, but I got to know, what are your thoughts about having the Jonas Brothers perform at halftime of the Thanksgiving game?
I'm a big fan of their family, fan of their story, fan of their careers. It's an exciting time, and the initial exposure I had with them was, of course, many years ago at one of these Thanksgiving Day halftimes for the Salvation Army. And they've been, of course, fabulous supporters of the Salvation Army and the Cowboys. And it's going to be a lot of fun to be with them there on Thanksgiving Day.
Jerry, if you had to rank which one you like better, Thanksgiving or Christmas, what's your more favorite holiday?
Well, I will tell you, Christmas is, of course, has always been such a premium time in my family, both when I was a kid and as I've had my family and evolved. But that Thanksgiving Day with the celebration and the kickoff, that National Red Kettle campaign, and we get to have early lunch on that day with all of the top officers nationwide, nationally, and sometimes internationally with the Salvation Army. And, boy, what they do for people. And they don't have to have board meetings. They can take people that need the food, children need the Santa Claus. They can take a disaster, and while everybody's trying to plan around it, they've got them fed and warm. They're a great organization, and if you want it to really give the most for your dollar that goes in that red kettle, those people, they can do it, and that's their lives to get it done. Great organization.
Yeah, Jerry, I mean, we always appreciate the support you guys have done for them, and I know the work that Charlotte puts in there, too, is significant as well. I did want to give you a couple weeks on this, though, a couple weeks in advance.
Ooh.
As we get towards the Jonas Brothers doing that halftime show, in a couple weeks, do you think you can give us a little bit, like a couple bars of your favorite song? You think you could sing them for us?
I'll be ready to go.
Yes, sir. There you go. There we go.
Outstanding. Now, this kind of indirectly impacts your team, or maybe you don't think it impacts whatsoever. I was curious. The Cowboys made a trade this week, and then the Eagles made a trade to pick up Robert Quinn as well. Do you get nervous, concerned, whatever the proper terminology is, when rivals pick up a top-notch talent?
Robert Quinn is a really top player, and he did a great job for us. And so he'll help them. But we've got a player that can really, really help us uniquely because of his experience and his size in the middle. And that's where we needed some bolstering up. We've really feel good about our outside pressure and what we're doing from our pass rush on the outside. And Quinn was outstanding at that. But we've got some young guys out here that we want to be sure that we get the reps to because they not only are effective, but, boy, they're just coming on like leaps and bounds, like Sam Williams and players like that. And we just need to give them every real game opportunity to do their deal, and they'll grow right before your eyes. So we're fortunate to have young guys out there at those positions at Robert Quinn. That's not taking anything away from him. And by the way, he's a great guy. I really enjoyed his time with the Cowboys.
Yeah, Will's done a great job. Will and company have done a really good job at setting this team up with the foundation of adding through the draft. And I think you got like four significant starters playing time from this year's draft, let alone. I am kind of curious, though, as you look through the rest of the division and monitor how they approach their things, you guys do it with the draft a lot. The Eagles, they've been making some significant talent additions and assets to their roster. Like, what do you think makes them good at that?
Well, again, I think they're well thought out. They're well organized. You know, he won't do it, but I will. But Steven is in charge of our personnel, Steven Jones. And he's really done an outstanding job over the years of putting that together. And then by the time that we're there, we include, and you know, Mike McCarthy had not been included at Green Bay in the actual drafting or the building process of the roster through the draft, the head coach, but he hadn't. And so we do that. We include our head coach and our coaching staff heavily in who basically assesses what we're doing. And then when we get ready to make those calls, we're able to make a call that encompasses all of the issues, salary cap issues, and literally looking, we can look around the corner. And that entire group has done an outstanding job. But the key thing I'm trying to point out is talent acquisition not only is a year-round thing, but in our case, it's an entire organization thing. And a lot of input goes into picking a Sam Williams or picking a Pollard or for that matter, on down the line. And so and that has to do with these free agents as well. So we take a lot of pride in that. I think we've had personnel really on par with the league for quite a while. And, of course, you have to every now and then have one of those that you saw that nobody saw when you look at a player that like Micah. I'll call Micah my pick.
Will you take blame for some of the bad ones then, too?
We have a lot of fun with this.
So, Jerry, how do you think Tony Pollard will handle that extra workload on Sunday?
I think he will dial him. I saw him say something that was real fun, but he'll hit it like he's been doing it all along in terms of those many reps. And I think he'll do outstanding. And I'm anxious to see. My vision of Pollard is that he can run all day. I don't know that I've ever seen him get tired. Mm. And so he's got durability in terms of his ability to carry that load and carry a multi-carry day. So he can do that. And proud to have him involved at this level. Proud to have him.
Longer term, do you see the appeal of Zeke sitting and then getting the bye and then hopefully on the other side of the bye being ready to go again?
Yeah, for sure. And it had everything to do with how we're doing this weekend with this bye coming up. I'm not so sure we'd have done it this way had we not had the bye. So this just gives too good an opportunity if we don't use Zeke. And we'll see how he is responding as the week goes along. But if we don't use him, it's just too great a time to get him in top shape.
Do you feel like the game plan, because you guys have had a really good formula so far that's been, as we keep talking, complementary to the defense and what y'all can do. Do you think it changes dramatically and that you would be passing a little more if Zeke's not out there?
I don't see that dynamic, but I do see he's an outstanding. He's maybe the best in my mind in the league pass protector. That's big. Mm. And so that's very important. I'm not trying to be trite. But he also, that damage he does, how physical he is. Now, he gives more than he takes. And so, boy, he's a load, and he wears those defenses down when he's running that ball. And so how we do that in his absence, if that's the case, will be interesting to see, both protect as well as wear him down.
We've been talking a lot about the receiver position this week, Jerry, and I'm kind of curious on how you feel about Gallup. Do you feel like you need to see more production, maybe out of the position, maybe out of the player, this week before y'all get to that trade deadline next week? Is there something you want to see from Gallup right now?
I expect to see more production. I do, and that's not in any way drawing a line. He's just that quality of receiver, and he's that important to our offense, has been. And we all know we've seen those outstanding 20-yard-plus plays, those down-the-field plays. And then we talk about our third down and talk about how we need to keep moving those chains, and that's impacting the number of offensive plays. All of that has Gallup written all over it. So you bet we need to have him show up with a good stats. When you do, you'll have more third downs, conversions, and when you do, you'll have more extended plays.
I think we all understand the reasons, and you've talked with us about the reasons, and so many of the decisions that y'all made on the personnel front in the offseason have gone really, really well. Do you look back at the receiver production thus far and look ahead to the trade deadline and look at somebody like Amari Cooper and think we really would have been firing on all cylinders had we not lost that?
Well, do we want to factor in the fact we haven't had Dak but two games?
Sure.
I think we should. And so that would have mitigated some of your receiver production without question. And so I think you're not comparing apples and apples.
Yesterday, your friend Michael Irvin hopped on with Sean and RJ, who Bobby was filling in, and he said that he knows for a fact that Odell Beckham Jr. would like to play for the Cowboys. What do you think a player like that would add to this wide receiver room?
Well, I think Odell Beckham is, we know firsthand, he made the greatest catch that I've seen, I believe, other than the one Dez made for the touchdown against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all know that one.
But bottom line is, Odell is a player that I admire a lot.
I am curious. I know you were just kind of joking, or maybe you weren't joking. Do you ever or do you often reflect back on that Dez catch and how differently that could have meant for his career, for Romo's career, for the franchise? Because we do a lot, yeah.
I think that's fair. I think it does come down. Can y'all mentally picture with me that catch that was made off the helmet when Peyton Eli made that throw and the boy caught that to pass off his helmet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
David Tyree, yep.
That was a career changer for a lot of people. That's what we do. And that's what this game is. And it does. You can't help but point to plays or point to event. And I was thinking of that rundown that we had there with Parsons and last week, that rundown from behind.
It was awesome.
And it's getting a lot of talk, and it should. It reminds me of when Deion Sanders was standing still and with a full run at the goal line up in Buffalo, and he caught the running back with him standing still on about the 12. He caught him before he got to the goal line. And so those plays do stick out, and you never know when they're coming. And ironically, that's what I am moving away. Ironically, that's what Micah and that's what the coaches were talking about before the game, about they never know when those great plays can come because the ensuing play, we stopped them on the one, it changed the game. And that's the game. That's a big part of this game, are those great plays and the impact that they can have the day of the game and forevermore. And that's a pretty dramatic statement, but that's why we love this game the way we do.
Jerry, I love that you're going back in time. And I know you can't talk about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. They're two of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they're coming close to the end of their career, whether it's 3 years from now or whenever it is. But you had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Troy Aikman that you had to make a tough decision on. I was wondering, and I don't want you to talk about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but how tough of a decision was it to move on from Troy Aikman? And can you talk about maybe the conversations you had to have with him that you decided to go in another direction?
Well, actually, that decision was made. I didn't make that decision. The man upstairs made that one, and that had to do with his physical condition, the concussion aspect of it, the back aspect of it, and those were the things that really took its toll. And Troy took a lot of hits, and that ultimately took its toll. Early, I remember over in the Pro Bowl that Troy got the most mobile quarterback in about second or third year with the Cowboys. Most mobile quarterback. Huh. And that's not the picture that you have of him, but he was very mobile. He might say, he might tell you he had a little stiffness, but he was very mobile early. And then, of course, he really the concussion thing came on the scene, and we hadn't really had that. We just didn't see that as a potential issue relative to how long he was going to play, but it turned out having a big bearing on it. But make no mistake about it, he had a ball that we all remember it, but it threw it right off of his ear hole in his helmet, and that thing was a dart, and he would have practices where there were no incompletions in practice, none. They all completed. He unquestionably was the most accurate passer I've ever seen.
We were discussing yesterday, as that was the celebration of Emmitt Smith's record-breaking moment yesterday, and we were asking the question, we had a lot of feedback in this conversation on whether or not Emmitt Smith nationally is recognized or gets the credit of being the best running back that's ever been there. And I kind of wanted your thoughts on, you know, that moment from Emmitt and him breaking that and all the work he put into it and kind of where he stands in your rankings on running backs that you've seen.
Well, he took his natural skill, which was efficiency. And if you watched him run, he could within a 6-inch range, 6 inches, he could keep his center of gravity. He could move it over like that a little bit. And with those powerful legs below the waist, you would have thought he was a 300-pounder with his calves and his thighs. And a huge man below the waist. And, boy, I'm telling you right now, he knew how to use it. And he would hit that hole. He'd be the first to tell you that he had a lot of holes. But that's not the end of it, boy. Then he would efficiently make a little zig or zag. And then he'd put all of that power to it at that particular time. And after his hit, he'd make umpteen yards. And that's where those yards were. That's where the exceptional yards were, in my mind, were after he was hit. But he had great vision, and great balance. And he was exceptional. He was exceptional everywhere he went. He broke every record at the high school level, at the collegiate level, and at the pro level. So what do you need to hear?
Yeah, absolutely. There it is.
Sounds like pretty darn high, Corey, is what I just heard. I love it.
Now, Jerry, I know Monday is going to be the day that all the kids are out trick-or-treating, and my wife brought a bag of candy corn home the other day. Before she even like got it into the bowl, the kids ate it all, and I'm okay with that.
Love it.
All right? I'm perfectly fine with that because on Monday, I'm going to steal all their Milky Ways out of their bags, and I'm just kind of curious, which ones with Steven and Charlotte and Jerry Jr., what candy did you go steal out of their bags when they were trick-or-treating?
Well, candy corn had a short life around my house. And I was on the hunt for Red October, but about any of it. But some of that old, those Cracker Jack balls, those popcorn balls that they put that syrup with and whatever. Some of the, I can remember homemade stuff when you'd go around trick-or-treat. But the thing that amazes me today is how much you get.
Yeah,
you know, I can remember back when you did it, and you got a little couple of fingers worth of candy. Man, I'm telling you, it's all. I've thought about having 4 or 5 of these kids in a truck and going out here and just getting. But what a time! Halloween's a lot of fun, and it's an exciting time. I've got little kids around that have these Top Gun outfits, and that may be the cutest thing I've seen in a long time.
Man, that is an outstanding story. I think we're all huge Halloween people as well.
Is Jerry dressing up as Maverick this year? Do you have a costume that you go for?
Well, listen, guys, when you see that one out there that stops your clock or looks a little weird, or looks like he's moving like he's been hit by a car crossing the street that night. That's old Jerry trying to act like he's 12.
Trying to get some
on those doors.
Outstanding. Awesome. Thank you very much, good sir. Obviously hoping for the best. Cowboys against the Bears. Get another winning streak started, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
That's it, guys. This is fun.
Yes, sir.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.